Just while you're finding that, if you can put your finger there, I want to read this expression a little while in a number of places. So I'm going to ask you to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5 to start. 1 Peter chapter 5, and you'll notice verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. And that's a little while. It's not the same word as you find in John's Gospel, but at least the expression is here. He says he's called you by his grace in Christ Jesus. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now just turn back to Hebrews chapter 10, please. And we'll pick up the expression again. And this one is the same construction, the same word as you have in John's Gospel. And notice in verse 37, we'll better read verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience or endurance, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while. That's the expression we're going to get in John's Gospel. For yet a little while. And he that shall come, and will not tarry yet a little while. Now come back to John's Gospel, please. And I think we're going to pick up this expression back. First of all, let's go back to John chapter 7. And this will not take us very long to read these, but at least you'll see where they are in the New Testament. John 7 and verse 33. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Yet a little while am I with you. Now we want to suggest early that the expression a little while doesn't always have to refer to the same thing. Because the context is going to decide, and we're going to look now over at chapter 12. And pick up this expression. So John's Gospel chapter 12. And look please at verse 35. John 12 and 35. And then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Yet a little while. Look now please in chapter 13. And verse 33, chapter 13, verse 33, little children, and this is the beginning of the upper room ministry in this section, little children, yet a little while am I with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, that's a reference back to where we read earlier, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go ye cannot come, so now I say unto you. Now look at chapter 14 and verse 19. And here's what the Lord Jesus says. Notice in verse 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Now jump into our section in chapter 16, where we're going to pick up the expression a number of more times. And notice verse 16, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. Again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto him, he said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more that the anguish for joy, or because of the joy, that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but, and we'd like you to notice this expression, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day, that's another section. So I guess we finished. I want to concentrate on the expression a little while. That was a presentation of the Lord Jesus. We noticed the expression in 1 Peter. We've noticed it in Hebrews chapter 10. Yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. And we're going to look at the context of chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16. And the Lord Jesus introduced in chapter 14 this statement. He said, "If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself." He was telling them in John's gospel, he was going away, but he was telling them, "I'm going to come again and receive you." The coming again of the Lord Jesus is what we'd like to focus on for a few minutes. Now, notice the confusion of the disciples. When the Lord Jesus said, "Yet a little while and ye shall see me, yet a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me." And they were confused. And they're confused all the way down to this section. It's interesting that if you look at the people that write on this chapter, that write on this particular section, they are just as confused as the disciples. And we're not trying to give you what other people have said, because we just tell you to read the books instead, and you could save home and save your gas and all the rest of it. But the disciples had a dilemma, and the expositors have a number of explanations, and basically, the people that are on my bookshelf, they tell me three things. So I've been confused for the last month, and you may think I'm confused today. I think I'm pretty settled on the issue. Now, and that means I'll leave quickly afterwards, and you will not be able to straighten me out unless you have my email address. But I want to come back to this expression, "I will come again, and a little while." The disciples said, what does he mean by a little while? Now, if you were to check, this is my guess, if you were to check 15 different people and say, what does the Lord Jesus mean by this expression, "a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me," some people are going to say he's referring to his death, burial, and resurrection. And following the resurrection, you are going to see me again, and the world is not going to see me. And that may be how you see the chapter. There are other people who say, a surprising number of people say, that this refers to the fact of the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. That he says, "A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me." He says, they say, many of them, you'd be surprised at how many and who they are, but they say, that refers to the advent of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you believe that, you're in excellent company, okay? But there are other people who believe, and take a very simple look at this, and they say, "A little while, and ye shall not see me, again a little while, and ye shall see me," refers to the Lord Jesus, his going back to heaven, his going to the Father, and his coming again. "A little while, and ye shall not see me. Again, a little while, and ye shall see me." Now, some people say, you got the three interpretations then, the three possibilities. One, that it refers to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. "Ye shall see me again." And they did. And their hearts did rejoice. Some say it refers to the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And that was joy. The world was happy when he was gone, but there was rejoicing because of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And then the third notion, the third presentation, is that it refers to the fact that the Lord is coming again. Now, I just lost my thread of thought there for a minute, and if you give me about 10 minutes, I'll try to get it back. But the dilemma of the disciples, the explanations of the expositors, and if you were to say, well, the context has to decide, and it does, but what's the context of chapter 14, 15, and 16? Well, clearly, it's the coming again of the Lord Jesus. He said that in chapter 14. "I will come again." But somebody would say, clearly, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Lord Jesus is teaching, isn't it? In chapter 14 and 15 and 16. The work of the Holy Spirit. "It's profitable for you that I go away. Because when I go away, the Holy Spirit is going to come." And certainly what 14, 15, and 16 are about is the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. So where do we go? Which one are you going to choose? Well, I believe that the Lord Jesus is referring here to the resurrection, but also that whole time period, and to his coming again. So that's where we're going to have to go today. The Lord Jesus is saying, a little while, and you will not see me, but again a little while, and you shall see me. Now, there's another thing I'd like to point out. Some people who say it refers to the Holy Spirit, they base that doctrine on the fact that there are two different words for see in verse 16. A little while you shall not see, that you shall not see me, again a little while, and you shall see me, two different words for see. John does that so often in his writing. He uses two words for know, two words, sheep and lambs, and two words for love and all the rest of it. But there's at least two words for see that are used here in chapter 16. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to give you how Darby translates this. And if you want accuracy in translation, you should have Darby's translation, a copy of it, or else on your computer. Because that's going to give you accuracy. Here is how he gives it, and this is also Young's literal translation. So look at verse 16 and see how it goes. He says, a little while, and ye do not behold me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Ye shall not behold me, but again a little while, and ye shall see me. I want to turn to a verse. Keep your finger here. I want to turn to a verse where you're going to have this second word for see. And we're going to turn over to 1 John chapter 3. And this is the second word. Again, a little while and ye shall see me. And notice what verse 2 of 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And that's the second word in chapter 16, verse 16. Ye shall see me again. So John uses that word then, clearly, of the return of the Lord. So in my mind, I believe that this expression is referring to the fact we're going to see him again when the Lord comes. We're not going to ask for a show of hands, but that's how we're going to take it this afternoon. I want to just take a couple of minutes on the character of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at the second coming of the Lord Jesus, we'll read some passages later, but his coming, there's one coming in the future, but two aspects of that coming. He's going to come for the church. That's called the day of Christ. He's going to come in judgment upon the world. That's called the day of the Lord. So we have to distinguish between the day of Christ on one hand and the day of the Lord on the other. The day of the Lord is mentioned in the Old Testament over and over again, and it's mentioned in the three synoptic gospels. The rapture of the church is a revelation. It's a new doctrine. It's a mystery doctrine. Certainly not presented in the Old Testament. Couldn't have been, because the church is not presented there. I do not think that the rapture of the church is referred to in any of the passages in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. But the rapture of the church is referred to in John's Gospel at least three times. And four times, if this is what he's referring to in chapter 16, when the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, he talked about the person who would die and who would, I guess I better go back to that one. This is an age-related illness. And I'm supposed to say that I'll give you the paraphrase or something like that, but I can't even do that. But here's a reference to the rapture. In John 11 and verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's resurrection. Notice verse 26. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That's rapture. So the Lord Jesus said, there's going to be people on the earth when he comes. The dead in Christ will rise. The living in Christ will be raptured into heaven, and we'll get to another passage on that later. Now, the Lord Jesus, in chapter 14, he said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. In chapter 14, he's dealing with the rapture. When he said to John in John chapter 21, said to Peter in John chapter 21, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?
a reference to the rapture, and in chapter 16, a reference to the rapture. But personally, I think it helps us if we see that Matthew and Mark and Luke, when you read of the coming of the Lord, it's His coming in judgment, it's the day of the Lord. Now, the day of Christ refers to the church, and refers to heaven, and refers to reward. The day of the Lord refers to Israel, the nations, the earth, retribution, and rule. And when the Lord comes to the air, as John chapter 14, that's the rapture of the church. The church will rise to meet the Lord in the air. Sometime following that, the day of the Lord will be introduced, a time of judgment upon the earth. So can you remember that? The day of the Lord, judgment. Has to do with the earth and Israel and the nations. The day of Christ has to do with the church and has to do with heaven. Now, that's just a little bit on the character of the Lord's coming. I want to look now at the character of the little while. What happens during this little while between His going to the Father and His coming from the Father? And that's another reason why I believe that it refers to the rapture. I go to the Father, so when I see you again, it must be when He comes from the Father. So, what's the character of that time between? I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians now for a few minutes. So, 1 Thessalonians, and we're just looking at the character of this little time. And look at chapter 1. And I think that we could say that the character of the little time is really given to us in John 14 and 15 and 16. Because it's really showing what are the life principles in this dispensation of grace. Because John 14, 15, and 16, and it's hard to get time to express everything that's there, even if we did see it and understand it, but it's really dealing with the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The previous dispensation of law and Israel set aside. And we could call this time period in which we live the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And that's what you see in chapter 14, the coming of the Spirit, 15, 16. That's what you see in the principle of the vine and the branches, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Now, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we want to look, what we're looking at is the character of the little while before the Lord comes. And look at verse 9. Verse 10, is it? We're going to verse 9, I guess. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we head unto you, and how you turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, the Deliverer from the wrath which is coming. That's literal, but that's the sense. The Lord Jesus is called here the Deliverer from the wrath which is coming. What's the wrath which is coming? The day of the Lord. The great tribulation. Tribulation upon the earth when God is dealing with the nations and dealing with Israel. But He tells these believers in Thessalonica three things. Number one, you turned to God from idols. That's conversion. Number two, to serve the living and true God, to serve His bondservants. That's consecration. The little while is to be characterized by consecration to the Lord's service. To serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven. Confident expectation that we're going to live in view of the rapture. Now, the rapture of the church may not be immediate. It's not presented in the New Testament as immediate, but it's always presented as imminent. Somebody that I checked on, when he said that the little while here when I will see you again cannot refer to the rapture, because that was a long while, not a little while. But it's never presented as a long while in the New Testament. It's always presented as a little while. The coming of the Lord may not be immediate, but the coming of the Lord is imminent. What does that mean? That means it may not happen this year or next year, but it could happen this afternoon. And the early church lived in view of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're looking at the character of this time period between his going away and his coming again. Look at chapter 2, because 1 Thessalonians has to do with the coming of the Lord. It has to do, 1 Thessalonians has to do primarily with the day of Christ. 2 Thessalonians has to do primarily with the day of the Lord. Not exclusively, but primarily. Now, we're going to look at verse 19 of chapter 2. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? That's a victor's crown. And Paul says, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Now, I'm going to show you what this is literally. That expression, at his coming, if you look at your Newbery margin, it means in his presence. Are not even ye? And here's literally what it is, and you can check this out. He says, are not even ye standing before our Lord Jesus Christ in his presence? Paul was looking forward to reward. When the Lord has come and the believers are gathered together, standing before the Lord in his presence, Paul says, that is my crown. So Paul was looking forward to a crown. He was living with a view to the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the end of chapter 3 and verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming. Same expression, in the presence. There's a word that you have heard a number of times, and it's the word parousia. That's an interesting word. Paul uses it in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11 or verse 12. He says, as ye have obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. The word absence is really apousia. The word presence is parousia. So if you want to understand this word parousia that we refer to the Lord's coming, sometimes the emphasis is upon his coming, but very often it's an emphasis on his being with us or our being with him after his coming. So that's why we're translating it by the word presence. Are not even ye in my presence? Or Paul said in my presence as well as in my absence. So let's read this expression. He says, standing unblameable before God, even our Father, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. You see, I do not think that this refers to his coming from heaven in the day of in judgment with all the saints. I think consistent with this particular epistle, he's saying, standing before him in his presence. Now you can check that out in Vine's dictionary or his book on 1 Thessalonians. And now we're going to jump down to chapter 4. Because 1 Thessalonians again is dealing with the day of Christ, the little while. And notice verse 13. He says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. That's a bad kind of brethren. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's those who have died. That ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Paul is saying here, the doctrine of the imminent return of Christ is a comforting hope, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Now notice what he says in 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, notice the foundation of what he's teaching. Christ has died. He has been raised from the dead. The price has been paid. The power of resurrection has been displayed in him, in his resurrection. So we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now here's where we want to read. Verse 15. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, the parousia, shall not prevent. That word means go before. Shall not go before them which are asleep, those who have died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's return. Okay? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's resurrection. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. That's rapture. With them. in the clouds. That's reunion. That's what's going to happen, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he says, comfort yourselves, comfort one another with these words. You see, they had wondered. They knew that all the doctrines of the kingdom of God and all the rest, but they said, what happens with those who have died? Are they going to lose out on everything? And the apostle writes here, and he tells them, they're not going to lose out on everything. We which are alive will be caught up, but they will be raised from the dead. Resurrection and rapture at the imminent return of the Lord Jesus. Now, we mentioned the day of Christ and the day of the Lord. I want you to look at chapter 5. Notice what he says. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord. That's different, isn't it? We've been dealing with the day of Christ in chapter 4. But now you have the day of the Lord. That the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. When they, just underline in your mind or in your Bible the word they. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. That's the world. But then notice what he says in verse 4, but you. So the big contrast, they and them. The day of the Lord has to do with they and them. It has to do with the world. But verse 4, but ye, brethren, but you, in contrast to them, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. He says, ye are all children of light and the children of the day. Notice you're not in darkness, you're in light, and you are children of light. Because Paul is now going to deal with your character and your conduct. What is your character? Ye are sons of light. And because you are sons of light, you're to be characterized by light. Notice what he says. Verse 5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. They are of the night. They are of the darkness. So what's he say then in the next verse, verse 6? Therefore, because of our character. Now he's going to deal with conduct. And Paul is saying here, make sure your conduct is consistent with your character. And that's what John teaches everywhere. And that's what James teaches everywhere. James could be called a belief that behaves. James didn't know of any other kind of belief. John would question any other kind of belief. How can you say you believe it and you don't follow it? Verse 6, therefore, let us not sleep. Now, that's not the same sleep as in chapter 4. The sleep in chapter 4 is those who have died. It's a different word. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That must be, this word sleep, must refer to being drowsy. Don't be sleepy. Don't be drowsy. And then what's the next word he says? They that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, in contrast to them, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. The helmet protecting the mind. And what is it? The hope of salvation. What is the salvation? The salvation in 1 Thessalonians is not the salvation of the soul. It's the salvation, the deliverance that takes place at the rapture when the Lord comes. Notice the next verse. So the hope of salvation has to do with their confident expectation. Their character and their conduct must be consistent. And then their confident expectation, it says, for God has not appointed us to wrath. What wrath? The great tribulation. The wrath that is coming upon the world. Chapter 1, the Lord Jesus is the deliverer from the wrath that is coming. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the salvation here? Delivered from the wrath to come. Like Enoch that we mentioned yesterday. Enoch walked with God, and he was taken out before the judgment fell upon the world. So, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. That second sleep in verse 10, just for your consideration, I'm going to ask you this question. Is that sleep in verse 10 the same sleep as in chapter 4, that whether we wake or have died, we should live together with him? That truth is presented in chapter 4, isn't it? That at the rapture, all will go, those who are living and those who have died. Or is this sleep referring to the sleepiness of verse 6? Same word, different word from chapter 4. And it seems to me, and you can think about it, it seems to me that Paul is saying here that, now, just let me check here if I can find it. Verse 10, who died for us. That's the foundation. He says your security, your conduct should be consistent with your character. But your security is not determined by your conduct. Your security is determined by this fact, that Christ died for us. That whether we wake or are drowsy, we should live together with him. Now you can meditate on that, because you see, the rapture in the Bible is pre-tribulational. It's going to take place before the tribulation. But the rapture is not partial. In other words, it's not a limited number of believers who go. He's teaching here, whether we wake or sleep, whether we wake or, where to go? Whether we wake or sleep, we'll live together with him. So Paul is saying in 1 Thessalonians, the Lord is coming. The day of Christ, the church. The day of the Lord, the world. He's describing the character of those who are living in the world. And he says their judgment will come at the day of the Lord. Now, I'm going to take two more minutes. We're going to read three verses. It's a comforting hope in 1 Thessalonians. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll spend 1 minute each on three verses. I hope that'll do the job. And verse 58. At the end of this, where he deals with the resurrection and the coming of the Lord, verse 58 of chapter 15, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I think we forgot where we're supposed to be going. We're talking about the character of the little while. They're to be comforted in that little while because the Lord is coming. They are to be consecrated in that little while, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now we're going to go to 1 John chapter 3 again. 1 John chapter 3. And this is the last passage we're going to read. I'm just giving notice to Mr. Smith here, if I can find the verse. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, he says, let's look at verse 28 of the previous chapter. Little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear. In the original, it's if he shall appear. But he's not casting doubt on the fact that the Lord will come. But it's if he should appear at any time. It's his imminent return. That if he shall appear at any time, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before that man is coming. And then verse 1, chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And notice what he says. Every man that hath this hope in him, in himself, that is not where the hope is. That is not where you cast the anchor of the ship. It's really this way. Every man that hath this hope set on him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. It's a cleansing hope, a comforting hope, a consecrating hope, a cleansing hope. The Lord is coming. So let's go back to our text then, verse 16 of John chapter 16. He says, I go away a little while, and you will not see me. But again a little while, and ye shall see me. And I do have to read one verse, just in case we missed that, in chapter 16, if your Bible is still open. And notice the expression. He says in verse 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. That's the promise that the Lord has left with us. If I go away, I will come again.